great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ooh,
ran down.
Everybody,
I'm not going to remember any of it.
That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Who's house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, Braden Fisk, Blake Corum, and Cameron Kinchins are now Los Angeles Rams. Day two is complete. But first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
I'm great. I feel like when you're in West Coast Pacific Standard Time, some of the times just kind of start sneaking up on you because I had no idea when it started today. I assumed it was 5 p.m., but no, it wasn't. And lo and behold, I get a text from you and Dad about Braden Fisk. And I'm like, does he know something that we don't? Like, are we like, we got both of these guys. What's going on? And then it ended up just being the actual draft.
Yeah. I mean, the Seminoles are now reunited. So you got Jared Verse and Braden Fisk reunited. So I have a little bit of pressure on him to probably succeed because of what the Rams gave up for him at 39th overall. They did give up 52nd pick, pick number 155. They had still pick number 154 and a 2025 second round pick. I think a lot of Rams fans would have been a lot happier if they had given up that third round comp pick that they have in 2025. But lo and behold, you have an incredible pass rushing duo, three touchdown and Jared Verse. And these two guys combined are really, really talented. You heard Jared Verse yesterday. He's the first one that's going to tell you that he saw it every day firsthand with Braden Fisk, getting in the building early, in the training room, in the film room. He very much fits the mold. And now the narrative for the Rams really has changed overall. It's no longer at them picks. It's all about making them picks. So you saw Les Snead and Trey in their post-draft presser yesterday, just how happy they are with the haul that they've received thus far. You know, we're going to talk about Blake Corum and Cameron Kitchens, but you started off with Braden Fisk. You saw the Reverend Ike Bruce at the podium yesterday announcing the pick. And there's the haul that they had to give up in order to get Braden Fisk. But this is an overwhelmingly strong player. I mean, he's an old school, just violent type of player. And he played offensive line all throughout high school and was recruited to Western Michigan as an offensive lineman by the Western Michigan defensive coordinator at the time. So he has a really unique perspective in terms of both sides of the ball. He understands the technical aspect of being an offensive lineman, how to counter it, the hand placement, the blocking schemes. So it's a really, really talented duo so far that you've added up front. And I think that this front four that they're building is this young committee of pass rushers, this young core of killers that we had talked about. And it's the only way to try and fill that Aaron Donald-sized void or hole in your heart. So I think they made a great attempt at being able to do that, addressed it early, and you got a lot more talent in the building so far on the defensive side of the ball.
Also, just like as a player, I imagine this is like a dream come true situation. It's you and your buddy who played like the same position are going to be playing on the same NFL team. Like, you know how each other works. Like, you can continuously grow that relationship on and off the field. Like, it's just super fun for both of them. And it's great because now we have this like dynamic duo that we haven't had since maybe Donald and Sue.
You got a lot of a talent that you needed to add to that side of the ball. So, I mean, when you go back to the Western Michigan, his time at Western Michigan 5 years before transferring to Florida State, like that entire staff had moved away, was fired in 2022, which then provoked Braden Fisk to then enter the transfer portal and join Jared Verse in Florida State. But he improved year over year at Western Michigan prior to transferring over to Florida State. He and Jared Verse very much have that in common. And Fisk lined up primarily over the B gap in defensive coordinator Adam Fuller's four-man front and consistently dominated stronger competition. And I think this is probably my favorite little nugget or factoid when it comes to Braden Fisk. If you went back and you watched the Senior Bowl, Andrew Siciliano reminded everybody that He is the first player in Senior Bowl history to change teams the morning of the game. He was that dominant. You couldn't block him all throughout the Senior Bowl. And I think that's where all the hype started. So many players just dropped out on game day due to injuries. And Braden Fisk, what did he do? He won the defensive MVP of the game. So an incredible player. And it's kind of reminiscent, you talked about Aaron Donald, of the way that he practiced and essentially just ruined the game plan, ruined practices for Rams fans or for Rams players. And I mean, like, that's the kind of, you know, you want to be able to bring that back into the building in some capacity. Obviously, that's not a direct one-to-one comparison at all. But this committee of players is getting stronger by the day.
Yeah. Dean had to explain this whole switching teams situation for me before the episode started, because I feel like I couldn't wrap my head around it, because it sounds so much like a recess situation. It's like, all right, the teams are unfair during the game. We need to pull somebody from your team and like, all right, this game's over. Like, let's switch teams immediately.
I mean, that, because that's the kind of player that he really is. I mean, like, when you look at Dane Bugler's The Beast, like, you talk about how he plays with violence. But this is a quote directly from Bugler in The Beast. He's a sawed-off throwback brawler. He doesn't wear gloves. Fisk generates movement with his get-off, his agility, his raw power. He creates stress on the blocking scheme with his disruptive qualities. And this is the kind of player that you're getting. You're getting raw strength and power and a three-tech that's going to rotate with Kobe Turner. And he's going to own it when Kobe slides it in the nose tackle. I really think it was a home run of a pick. And this front that they're building is reminiscent of the Jeff Fisher days. I mean, you talked about Sue and Donald, but I'm thinking about Robert Quinn and Chris Long and Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers and William Hayes. Like, obviously, three of those players were top 15 picks. But this is a young committee of killers. And it's exactly what I wanted to see. You didn't have to overthink it. You didn't overinvest in, you know, a receiver or an offensive lineman. You just continued to build the defense. And I can't understand how you can't be just really happy over the fact that they didn't overthink things. And they just brought in a player that maybe doesn't have a deep arsenal of counters when it comes to, you know, just his overall pass rushing ability. But like, watching Jared Verse and him just stack and shed in the run game, like, it's art. Like, they have the strength, power, and the ability to stack blocks and then shed them off the point of attack and get to the ball carrier, because their power and their hand usage that they possess is so powerful. They're just guys that we love.
When you're just such a big body too. I was watching a couple of videos of him. When you're able to, and like, still this is college, but take your offensive lineman and just push him towards the quarterback and then pancake both of them. Like, that's the kind of stuff that if Aaron Donald wasn't getting double teamed, like, that's what we were like kind of expecting from him. And I'm glad you brought up the Jeff Fisher, Les Snead era, because a lot of this reminds me of, remember, like, after the Doom Patrol, whatever the heck the Seattle Seahawks called themselves, I forget.
Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom, right. Like, sorry, Boom Patrol. The Rams tried to like do their own thing with that Chris Long, Donald, Brockers. It was Mob Squad. You remember that?
Yeah, sure.
Had a hat that said Mob Squad. And I remember like really embracing that, because that's kind of all we had. It's like all Fisher did was bring in these like great defensive guys and knew how to coach defense, and the offense was just so lacking. And now, you know, you have that, like, it's kind of starting over again, but you still have Sean McVay, who's going to be able to bring the offense over the top. So it's a really exciting time.
You definitely have a Mob Squad 2.0 situation with a young core that's going to play together for at least the next 4 years. So yeah. I was really excited about the Braden Fisk pick. And it's a guy that we talked about a ton prior to all this draft process starting, just because of how incredible he was in the Senior Bowl. Just a one-year starter at Florida State, but did everything he needed to prove himself, got in the building early, got in the film room, and became best friends with Jared Verse. I mean, Jared Verse gets to fly into Hermosa Beach with his parents and then immediately be reunited with his brother in Braden Fisk. I mean, that's like the best situation you could ever ask for as a young kid coming into the league. So they're both the same age. Like, it's a perfect
Hermosa
situation.
Beach? Come on. Yeah.
Who doesn't love Hermosa? So, and then after that, I think, you know, people were starting to get a little bit, what are they going to do next? Are they going to address defensive back? Are they going to address linebacker? Are they going to go after a receiver? We were talking about a running back on day three, but Blake Corum was drafted with the 83rd pick. in round number three. And I was just thinking back to players like Daryl Henderson, because Daryl Henderson was taken with the 70th pick overall in round three of 2019. And then Cam Akers was taken with the 52nd pick in round two of 2020. And it's really similar to where Blake Corum was drafted, 83rd overall. He's going to be 24 in November, right? So, I mean, you talk about a player that's a little bit older, has a lot of tread on his tires. He's close to the same age as Kyren Williams, but a lot of similarities in terms of their games. And this guy is just a touchdown scorer. Like, the write-ups on Blake Corum are entirely different from what I read back on Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers. And we're going to get into how. But, like, I think the Rams learned their lesson. Like, I think that they truly understood, like, okay, this is our old zone scheme. We drafted players to fit that zone scheme in Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. It was an older offensive line. Jared Goff was under center at the time. But now the evolution of the offense gravitating towards this gap duo scheme, which, I mean, you'll still probably have zone factored in, but not nearly as frequent, because the offensive line has had a ton of success. They've invested to make it stronger with Jonah Jackson at left guard, Steve Avila moving to center, and Kevin Dotson re-signed to play right guard. You got 1,000 pounds of beef in the interior, and you're going to be able to execute that duo scheme in perfection when you have this two-headed attack now in Kyren and Blake Corum. So
it feels like there is a little bit of, okay, when you need the F them picks mentality, when you need to go up and trade for somebody like Matthew Stafford, you go out and do it. But now it's like they're almost learning and adapting, because how many times have we seen this duo draft where they take a quarterback like first or second, you know, like they got their defense set, and then they were like, okay, let's bring in somebody that can help the offense right now. But that's not our main, you know, like, we're happy with where the offense is. So to learn from that and adapt and still have that, like, killer F them picks mentality when you need it. But right now they're telling us that they don't need it. You know, like, they are confident in what they have. They filled the holes that were most needed. And now they can start bringing in people like Blake Corum, who is one of the reasons why everybody's talking crap on JJ McCarthy, because he was so good last year. I mean, you watch that game, it's like McCarthy doesn't have to do much. You give the guy the ball and he's just a touchdown machine.
Yeah, all he does is score touchdowns. And per Les Snead, the Rams like guys who score touchdowns. I would imagine that Sean McVay was going a little bit crazy. And you have this player on the board. He's the second overall running back rated. He's a two-year starter at Michigan. Like, he led the way in the gap zone scheme at just 5'9", 205 pounds. So he's a little bit smaller in terms of his frame. But as the Michigan starter in 2022, he established himself as, quote-unquote, the straw that stirred the offensive drink. He led the FBS in rushing touchdowns with 27 in 2023. He accounted for at least one touchdown run in all 26 games he played in the last two seasons. So it's just outrageous production. And I talked about the tread on the tires, a little bit scary. He's 24 years old. But you love a good endorsement from one of the best coaches in college football history, in Jim Harbaugh. And who doesn't love Jim Harbaugh? He got a 15-0 tattoo on his shoulder and wanted to add roses to it immediately, just because of how productive this team was. He compared him and puts him in the same conversation as Frank Gore, who he coached in San Francisco, as one of the best running backs he's ever coached. Harbaugh said, quote unquote, "There's no doubt that Blake will be right on the same dance floor as Frank Gore in every single way as a player." And, I mean, that's a ringing endorsement from a really, really high-quality coach who, I think the Chargers are having a great draft, too. Like, to be able to bounce back and forth, there's not a lot of coaches in the history of the league that have been able to be successful at the college level and the pro level. You think about a guy like Pete Carroll. But to bring in that kind of ringing endorsement for a guy like Blake Corum makes me feel a lot better about the pick, despite the fact that we may have wanted one on day three instead.
Yeah. Like, you can only... As I said, that they were learning, you can only hold them back so long. They're like, you know, a hungry dog is going to have to eat. And you know that they are, that every offensive player. I mean, it's been reported now that they try to trade up for Rome. They try to trade up for Bowers. So the fact that they didn't, you know, and they stuck to where they were, and they made the smart defensive picks to finally bring in a running back at this point, who, sorry, Kyren Williams fantasy owners, because the Rams are like the worst running back fantasy team, because if you have somebody that is just going to be able to bring like Frank Gore energy and just like pummel through, even though that's not exactly how I see him, but who am I to question the great Jim Harbaugh?
You're pretty spot on. I mean, he's a guy that has really, really terrific vision, and he has that strong lower body. So those are kind of the comps with Frank Gore. Like, he maximizes the blocking that's in front of him. He scraps for every yard. He's compact. He's tough. Those are the kind of comparisons that you draw towards Frank Gore. Just that he's so scrappy, has great vision, great lower body control. But I think the one knock on him is, one, his size, two, his age, and then also where he was drafted. But then it's not being a high volume receiver in terms of a target in college. I think he kind of has to improve that part of his game, be a little bit more consistent. And you saw Kyren kind of evolve as a pass catcher. But the fear is that, and this was a great, great point from Jordan, because Jordan had put out a post, Jordan Rodriguez from The Athletic put out a post suggesting that the Rams are looking for the same type of production that they had with Kyren Williams on the field with another back. So if Kyren misses time, he missed five games down the stretch of last year. Like, that, there's a little bit of a concern there. They're not going to skip a beat if Blake Corum has to come in and carry the load. And I think that thinking is more than logical. And the similarities between the two really kind of stand out when you start to dig into them. So,
well, Kyren last year was asked to be an every down back. It really, you know, the put a lot of tread in the tires, and then eventually he got injured. So to have somebody that you can kind of, you know, running back by committee and kind of filter these guys in and out, maybe bring back Daryl Henderson, who, you know, I'm saying it right now, but still, I know that they're not going to, but still, like, just to have somebody that if one of them were to lose their footing, you can have the other kind of fit right in. I hope that neither of them get the frequency that Kyren got last year, because if both of them can do the same thing, maybe one's like a little more superior at one thing than the other, that's great, because then you can kind of not have somebody being in there every single down, which what brought Kyren down last year, really.
Yeah, I mean, Kyren was great on third down last year. You're going to have to determine how much upside this player really has when he's on the field on third down, if he could really be a three down back. But he's very determined. He maximizes every single carry that he gets his hands on the ball with. And I think that that's going to translate really well to the NFL. And, you know, he's not going to blow you away with his height, his athleticism. I mean, he ran a 4.53 in terms of a 40-yard dash, but we know that the Rams look at football speed. We know that they look at on-field speed. They look at vision. They look at ability in the red zone. They look at ability on third down, short area quickness. Like, there's all these other metrics that they tap into outside of just a 40-yard dash for a running back that they can envision implementing into their offense. So I think that that's kind of the thought process there. It's like, it's a running back. Yeah, sure, maybe it's overdrafted, but he's the second best running back in the draft per a lot of high-end scouts. So,
which is wild. I mean, like, what this league has come to, second best running back, 83rd overall.
I know. Yeah, I remember last year, Bijan Robinson was drafted like in the top seven by the Falcons. It's a much different world. And, you know, as the league kind of progresses, it's like, yeah, we probably could have signed a free agent running back. But then, like, Royce Freeman, I think he went to the Dallas Cowboys. Ronnie Rivers was tendered. Zach Evans, I just don't know if they feel like he has the same type of production value that a guy like Blake Corum can offer. So, yeah, they have some running backs on the roster. Yeah, they could have probably added one in free agency. But this is a kid that, like we said, all he does is freaking score touchdowns. And we love that about him. So that's what happened at pick number 83. And then 99 overall, I was hoping the GOAT Aaron Donald was going to step onto the stage and announce this pick. But then I realized that he was in Detroit and probably would have gotten booed. Donald wasn't actually in Detroit, but if he were to step out, the Lions fans probably would have booed him, which would have just been insanely disrespectful.
Would they have booed him? I mean, they beat us on their path to the NFC Championship. They're treating us like a Super Bowl win.
Yeah, I know. They booed Stafford. I would imagine that they would boo Aaron Donald. But, I mean, great prep for his Hall of Fame speech coming up.
Was Stafford there?
I don't think he was.
No. I mean, like, I think in the context of a playoff game, they boo Stafford. I don't know if they boo Stafford if he just was announced.
You're right. Yeah, you're probably right. They probably would have cheered him on. Yeah, that's a good point. But I'm sure Stafford would have made a comment about the Rams. Who knows? But the 99th overall pick, Cameron Kitchens, had a third-round grade, 79th overall. The Rams got him at 99. So I'm just really, really happy with the type of player that he is, because – I truly believe this. I saw it on Twitter. that this is what I think is the seal of the draft thus far for the Rams. He started all 3 years at Miami. He was a freshman in 2021. So he's only 22 years old, and he's going to turn 23 in week four of the 2024 season. So this is a kid that led the ACC in interceptions both as a sophomore and a junior. So just a really, really impressive player. In 2022, he played more of a nickel role and was first-team All-American, first-team All-ACC. He led the ACC in interceptions with 6. He led the team with tackles with 59, pass breakups with 12. And, oh, he returned an interception for 99 yards. So there's some pretty interesting similarities with some other safeties at the U that we're going to talk about in a second. But 2023 rolls around. He does the exact same thing despite missing 3 games. All ACC, he led the ACC in interceptions with 5. He led the team with pass breakups. He posted the same exact amount of tackles from the year prior with 59, despite playing 3 less games. So I think the versatility on the back end is going to be nuts. And I really enjoyed the fact that a lot of the other Rams accounts kind of repurposed this tweet in their own way to make sure that it was on their own page. But I think the stats are really interesting. Over the last 25 years, exactly 3 Miami players compiled double-digit interceptions over their careers. Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, Cameron Kitchens. I mean, that is just an unbelievable list.
Bird of the beast.
Yeah, of potential players that he could play like. I mean, Ed Reed, Sean Taylor is probably my favorite safety of all time. Just the way that he was so versatile. He was so big. You could play him in the box. You could play him on the back end. He could do essentially anything. And the versatility that I think that the Rams are going to have on the back end is really nuts, because they signed 3 players in Cam Curl, in Darius Williams, and Trey White. Plus, you still have guys like Kobe Durant, rather, Quentin Lake, and now Cameron Kitchens. And I think that you could expect a really strong rotation and variation of nickel and dime looks, because you now have the personnel to be able to do so. So you can get into whatever kind of match zone schemes they feel like best fits their opponent, because they have so much versatility on the back end. And oh, by the way, now that they can rush the passer, because they've added talent in the front 7 in Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, it's all starting to come together. And I think Chris Shula is probably the happiest person in the Hermosa draft house because of how they've addressed the defense so far.
I was going to say, I think a lot of pressure, once you see what Snead and McVay are doing with the draft, is going to fall on Shula, because if you grade it from a defensive standpoint, I mean, we got 1 offensive player so far, and obviously probably more, as we're likely going to address that on day 3. It's all defense right now. So, like, we really – like, Raheem Morris, love him or hate him, he – throughout the playoff run and the postseasons and everything that he brought to the Rams, it was high-producing offense or defense. And sure, he had – Aaron Donald, but still, it was a lot of really good guys. He had Ramsey as well during some of it, but still, Shula, the pressure is going to be on him. I'm still not sure how I feel about it, because it does feel like a very internal hire. But still,
yeah. I mean, Sean McVay's best friend. So, I mean, yeah, I totally get that. He gave him the opportunity, but he also has that legacy. Don Shula has been in the building for one of the longest tenured Rams coaches. So he does know every single way that Sean McVay likes to work and function. And I think, you know, you need to add some young personnel. Like, I think that was what was so fun about the defense last year. There were so many kids that were stepping up, even if they were late round draft picks. You saw Aaron Donald put his arm around Kobe Turner and just help develop the front 7. And then on the back end was obviously where we really lacked. And that's what we're starting to invest in, which is really exciting. I think what I love about Cameron Kitchens the most is his ability to just play outside of the numbers. He's fundamentally one of the best tacklers I've seen at the safety position in a long time. He sticks his helmet into the hips of ball carriers. It's like fundamentally how you teach kids in peewee football how to tackle. That's how Cameron Kitchens tackles. His timing and his instincts when it comes to the ball in the air or when he's blitzing is top in the class. He's a really, really good blitzer from the nickel position. And his knock was that his combine and his 40 time, people say he isn't fast enough, but we talked about this already. The Rams don't care about the 40-yard dash. They look at on-field speed. They look at GPS data. They look at fastest ball carrier and a ton of other metrics to help them evaluate these players. And now you got 2 Cams, the Ram. You got Cam Curl. You got Cameron Kitchens. So you got, you know, a combination of players, no more Cam Akers, but 2 other Cams, the Ram. And I just think the back end of this defense is going to be a lot of fun, because now there's actually talent on it. And you got to take into account you know, everything that the division throws at you. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. you have to defend now. You got Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. You got Tyler Lockett and DK in Seattle. And I'm sure that they're going to continue to add talent because, you know, that's kind of how you go. You want to be able to head-to-head be better than your division rivals. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that the Rams have built this out that I think is really encouraging and leads you to believe that 9.5 win total number and potentially winning the division is very, very, very much in play.
It feels like the NFC West, even when it takes a couple of years off from being like the best division in football, it's always, always, always competitive. And I feel like every team minus Seattle, like the stock is rising. You could argue, I mean, like, I think now it would be harder, but after the loss of Aaron Donald, maybe the Rams stock dipped down a little bit. But I mean, I think right now it's as high as it ever has been, you know, after a playoff win last year. But Seattle, love Marvin Harrison Jr. Cardinals. And then Seattle just has a bunch of great guys. And they brought in a new coach finally. So it feels right. Like they're going to start progressing in the right way.
Yeah, it's a new era in Seattle too. Like, yeah, Pete Carroll's no longer there, so you got a new era there. Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, they're going to be changing things up. Kyler's healthy coming into this season, so they're going to be throwing a lot at you. You got to be prepared for it. And I think that the Rams very much are. You look at the pieces of the puzzle. Now, these are the new faces of the defense. Like these, Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk up front, three tech, nose tackle. People say Braden Fisk is a rotational three tech. He's a guy that can fully own the three tech position if Kobe decides to move over to nose tackle. But you could rotate these guys. You could throw a lot at these internal players, these interior players, rather, the centers, the guards, and you're going to have matchup nightmares all over the place. Jared Verse is going to command a ton of attention, potentially double teams. That may leave Byron Young on a one-on-one opportunity. So the goal is just get as many one-on-one opportunities as you possibly can for some of these guys. And it might just be a rotation. Opportunities might come up throughout the game for different players at different times. But like you look at just some of the pieces of the puzzle, it feels like the defense is very much coming together. And without this happening, you're thinking to yourself, is the Rams going to be a bottom five defense in the league this year without adding this kind of personnel, being able to add talent on the back end and on the front seven? So it's coming all together, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for today's draft as well. You know, it's like, what are they going to pull Dean every single year in fantasy football and just not draft a kicker and just get Jake Bates from the UFL? I hope that's the case. I don't want them to draft a kicker. There's clearly a guy in the UFL that hasn't gotten a call yet. Otherwise, we would have heard about it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, they could go look at offensive line, right? You could look at a potential offensive lineman of the future. I think we talked about Christian Jones from Texas, who Les Snead has the connection. His stepson is at Texas, so I would imagine at some point you steal somebody from Texas today. There's a linebacker probably potential opposite of Ernest Jones. You could look at, Trotter. There's a couple of other kids that you could take a deep dive on that you could pair next to Ernest Jones and replace Christian Roseboom. You could look at receiver, and within evaluating receivers, you could look at a receiver potentially that can fit the mold of not only a punt returner, but the new kickoff rules, right? Somebody that's a little bigger bodied can, you know, take a kickback in that type of formation and really kind of round out the rest of the draft with depth and special teams, because we know now that within three phases, the offense, they drafted a running back, probably going to draft a receiver at some point. Defense is much, much improved. But then that third phase, the third unit, special teams, is lacking. They're the last ranked unit in football. So you got to be able to address that today. That's really, really important.
You definitely have to touch on special teams. But I mean, personally, I feel like what they're doing has been fantastic so far for the draft. They are filling holes. They're not trying to outthink the room, which is what a lot of us thought that they were going to do. And special teams will come. If you do well today, the players that you bring on, they have to be gadgety. They have to be like a little quick on offense. Then you're going to be able to fill special team holes, because that's kind of how it is. Like, it's hard to draft specifically for that unit.
Yeah,
and totally. I think our Sean McVay and Les Snead, like, they don't really do that because it's such a little portion of the game. I mean, it can make or break you, but hopefully everything else is sound enough in the box that it's not the reason why you lose, even though last year it was multiple times the reason that we lost. So depth is the key word. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, depth. They may not have to use all the remaining picks. I think they have 4 in round 6, 1 in round 5, 1 in round 7, so 6 more picks today. So you could, I mean, you could probably trade to get up into the 4th round because they don't have any 4th round picks, which is how the draft is going to start today. So maybe you move, you try to get up, try to address the 4th round, you get rid of a couple of picks, you end the day with maybe 4 picks, and you know, they're all value adds in terms of depth, special teams, and just ways to kind of round out the roster. I'm just excited with the way that it's started. I'm trying to take off my Rams fan hat and just like evaluate it from, you know, an outsider's view, and to pair the two Seminoles together, to find Cameron Kinchins at 99 overall and Blake Corum, the touchdown maker. It seems like it fits everything that they've been discussing. Committee of pass rushers, more talent on the offensive side of the ball, alleviate some stress off of Kyren, and then the back end in free agency, how you've addressed that, and then paired personnel in the draft with that talent you brought into the building. So happy, satisfied, but let's see what happens on day 3, because it's going to paint the full picture in terms of what you could expect for 24.
I'm just so excited to go to a preseason game this year and watch Jimmy Garoppolo hand the ball off
to Blake Corum and to Ronnie Rivers, and then to see Stetson Bennett take over the second half and dominate.
Never. That's never going to happen.
If you guys are enjoying all of this content, make sure that you guys are liking and subscribing. Again, drink. I forgot to say it in the beginning of the episode. But if you guys are enjoying the draft content, we're going to have everything in between. You know, stuff as OTAs begin, the on-field stuff, the practices, all that good stuff. Any Matthew Stafford contract rumors, I'm sure an extension is being worked on because he wants more guaranteed money, he wants more years. So a lot more to be had. So we enjoy the fact, all the interaction on social media, and hope that we can continue building this out because it's a ton of fun.
And it is. And if you want, I mean, my hair is absolutely wild right now, but if you want a cool Rams Brothers hat like this one, it's available at the YouTube shop. So check out, you know, it's right below us if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on Spotify or Apple Pods, go to YouTube and subscribe, and then check out the shop because there's some fun stuff in there. And that puts money right in, you know, in the Dean and I's pocket if you want to say that we're doing a good job. It's the best way to do it. I mean, but yeah, I appreciate you guys. I really do. It's so fun to interact with everybody. And yeah, it's just a great time to be a Rams fan. When is it not? You know, Hermosa Beach.
In this era, it's an incredible time. We love you guys. Talk to you again tomorrow, and go Rams.
Go Rams.